It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin residents are experiencing another round of extreme heat this week.
The National Weather Service's heat risk map shows almost the entire state under a red 3 risk with major heat-related impacts. That includes health risks for heat-sensitive populations and people who are working outside.
In just a bit, we'll hear from Madison's emergency management coordinator about preparations to help keep residents cool.
But first, a look at this sprawling heat dome situated over the Midwest and how it will affect life in Wisconsin this week. For that, we have meteorologist Kevin Wagner from the National Weather Service Milwaukee Sullivan office for an update. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This heat risk map showing almost the entire state at high heat risk for multiple days. What can our state expect in this week's heat wave?
Yeah, so today we're expecting temperatures in the mid-90s to even upper 90s. Can't even rule out a couple places hitting that 100-degree mark. And that's just the temperature. But we're also in the midst of summer, so we got the humidity as well. So it's kind of muggy out there. So the mugginess and the heat combined is going to give us a feel-like temperature of over 100 across much of the state. And that's why we have the higher heat risk, as well as we have heat advisories for much of the state. And in the far northwestern part of the state, we have extreme heat warnings for those conditions as well.
This has been dragging on multiple days. Can you explain what a heat dome is?
Yes. So we have the upper level jet is kind of way up to the north, up in Canada right now. And that's really what's driving like the winds and stuff up there. But we're kind of hanging below that. So we're not getting the pattern to kind of shift through. So that's allowing the warm temperatures from the south to kind of build up all the way into the upper Great Lakes area. And with the jet kind of remaining further north, the pattern's not really moving. It's just kind of sitting stationary for several days. So yesterday we saw some high temps to, and again, we're going to see them today and going to even linger into tomorrow and possibly even into Thursday. So the pattern's just kind of sitting over us. It's able to build those heat. And the extended period of seeing these warmer temperature or these hotter temperatures are also results in those higher heat risk concerns, because it's just kind of not much relief in between the days. But thankfully this weekend, it does look like things will start to move. We start to get the jet kind of starts to shift back south and our pattern becomes more progressive. We can get a little bit of cool down.
That's what I was wondering. How does a heat dome ultimately push out or break up?
Essentially, yeah, we get the jet that comes back down, brings in a low pressure system. So we kind of get the pattern to start flowing again, because the atmosphere is a fluid. So we kind of have to get that, kick it into gear again. So usually a storm system, we are expecting kind of a low pressure to kind of work its way across Wisconsin later Friday into Saturday. That's going to drag a cold front. And then that colder air mass is able to make its way back down and kind of provide some relief for us.
Will overnight lows provide any relief as we move through this heat wave?
Yeah, it was not going to be as bad as we saw at the end of June. With that stretch of heat, we really saw those higher temperatures in the upper 70s with those muggy conditions. We're still see some of those areas that we see low 70 temperatures overnight, but we still get those 60s as well. So there is some relief overnight. I know I took a walk this morning at 5 a.m. It was muggy, but it was at least comfortable to walk outside.
That's a good time to be walking, indeed. This isn't the first wave of extreme heat in Wisconsin, Kevin. Can we expect more as we head into August? What is long range looking like?
So this is typical time of year, July, end of July into August. This is our hottest part of the year. Our average high temperatures are at their peak this time of year. But as we're kind of move into August, mid to late August, we slowly start to see those temperatures start to fall. But looking at the extended 2 weeks out, you know, the general trend, we're kind of going to trend back towards normal based on the pattern. Doesn't mean we can't get a hot day here and there. It's just overall we're going to kind of trend towards those normal temperatures, which around here is low 80s for high temperatures and then the mid 60s for overnight lows.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
That is meteorologist Kevin Wagner from the National Weather Service Milwaukee Sullivan office. We're talking about another wave of extreme heat that's bearing down on Wisconsin. Now for a look at coordination efforts to keep people cool, we turn to the city of Madison, where emergency management coordinator Colton Ritchie is working with organizations around the region on emergency preparedness and response. Colton, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
What are some of the things that you're focusing on to keep Madison and Dane County functioning safely through this heat wave?
Yeah, so in the short term, we're really focusing on, as you mentioned, some partnerships. We work with a lot of our nonprofit partners to make sure there's places people can go in the heat, make sure that they're prepared and able to take people in, and also our city agencies, such as our libraries and community centers. There are already places that people can go, so we want to make sure that they're ready and operating normally. For long term, we're working with couple people around the city. For example, our Office of Sustainability and Resilience is doing a lot of work to reduce heat islands. We're also working with a statewide organization called the Heat Health Network. It's a group of emergency managers, public health professionals, and others who are looking at how we can do long-term actions to prepare communities and reduce the risk for individuals. And I think mostly what we're doing, though, is really doing messaging. We want to make sure that people know how to keep themselves safe, how to see the signs of heat-related illness, and know what they can do to stay prepared and stay cool in this extreme heat.
What are heat islands?
Yeah, so heat islands are areas that typically it's created by areas of more concrete and asphalt that traps heat during the day, also helps release it at night. So those areas that don't have a lot of tree cover tend to be up to 5 degrees hotter in places or in conditions like this. So we're really working to increase the tree cover to reduce that and also break up the how much concrete's in any given area.
You mentioned working with nonprofits and government agencies. How do you ready a building as a cooling center? What are some changes that are made?
Actually, very few. Cooling center is something that takes very little effort, so we are always happy to partner with any nonprofit who wants to just be listed on our website. We usually host that through public health or 211. But we really just want to make sure they have water available and a place for people to sit down, and they also need to have air conditioning because we want people to be able to cool down while they're in there and, you know, recover from the heat. But ultimately, it doesn't take a lot as long as we don't have power outages. In those cases, we're looking for places that have backup power, whether it be a generator or solar with batteries. And long term, we're looking to make more places resilient towards those power outages. But short term, very, very little changes are needed, just being willing to open your doors and let people come inside for a drink and a place to sit.
Are you monitoring the electrical grid in terms of whether there could be an outage or a brownout even?
We work with Madison Gas and Electric for the most part on that and Alliant Energy to make sure that there's no risk there. MG&E has assured us that right now their grid's maintaining full functionality and they don't anticipate any needs. That said, we maintain close contact with them as well as Dane County Emergency Management. So if we start to see issues, they typically let us know ahead of time if they can. If not, we react in the moment as well. But we do monitor that day to day, yes.
What can communities do to ensure people can access these cooling center buildings and that residents can still be able to carry on with the activities of daily life in a heat wave?
Yeah, so big thing that people can do to make sure people have access is what we try to do is put them on bus routes, places that are accessible, and put them widespread throughout the community. A few years back, we tried opening one at Alliant Energy Center. We learned that people can't come across the city just to cool down for a few minutes, right? So we want to make sure that they're throughout the community and available for people in their own neighborhoods. We also, like I said, prevention is really the biggest part of it. So as far as continuing their daily lives, we want people to hydrate ahead of time and do what they can and have a plan to know where they can go and cool down. Really, libraries in your community are a great place to go, as well as community centers. There's also quite a few museums around Madison that are free and a great place to cool down as well. So we really want to push that having a plan before the heat gets here.
Colton, people may not want to leave their pet or pets at home in these conditions. What can be done to help pets survive a heat wave?
Yeah, so biggest thing there is going to be, again, hydration is the big thing, right? So we want to make sure they have enough water and watch for any signs of illness there too. I'll admit that we're not where we want to be on pet accessible locations for cooling centers right now. We're working towards that, and it's kind of in our hopefully 5-year plan. But that said, there are restaurants around town that if you're able to go to a restaurant, that let people have pets there. There's also other public spaces. So knowing your neighborhood and knowing where your pets are welcome and where they can cool down is important. Also, if your pets likes to swim and they're safe to do so, you can find a place that they're able to go get in some water, typically along our beaches. Some of them are pet friendly. And then also same as us, right? They need shade. They need a place to cool down, and fans help them too. It helps their cooling system, their own body's cooling.
I want to pick up on the word resilience that you mentioned at the outset and this idea of individual resilience when preparing for extreme heat. how does individual resilience work?
Yeah, so for extreme heat in particular, and actually all emergencies, it largely comes down to make a plan. Right now, the plan, you know, is where am I going to go to cool down? What am I going to do if my air conditioner goes out? If I have air conditioning, do I have enough fans around the house? It's also knowing what resources are out there, right? So 2-in-1 is a great asset. So if you have issues with your power bills and you're choosing between whether or not you can turn on your air conditioner, giving 2-in-1 a call and finding out what programs are out there is a great way to go. For any other disaster, again, the plan's important, whether it be for a tornado or for a fire. Know what you're going to do, know where you're going to take shelter, and then also have an emergency kit. It's less important for slow-moving disasters like heat, but it's important still nonetheless, right? You don't want to be trying to figure out what you need to take with you if your power goes out and you're sitting there for a long period of time without heat. So you want to have that kit ready so that you can get out of your location quickly if you need to, and you know, makes it much easier if you're under stress.
The climate data showing that Wisconsin's hottest months are now getting hotter. Can you give an example? How are you factoring in the region's changing climate into your long-term plans for keeping Madison residents safe?
Yeah, so we're having to shift priorities a little bit. Heat events like this used to be much more rare, so mm-hmm. we didn't have to worry as much about cooling centers. So the big thing is making sure that these things are accessible. We're considering this when we're building out our community resilience hubs. We're kind of the same concept as those cooling centers. We want to make sure there's places people can go for any sort of emergency in their own community. So we want to make sure that these places also have air conditioning and ways to keep people cool, and are trained to recognize that people are, if they're having a heat-related illness and need emergency services. Aside from that, like I said, the city itself or at large is doing more planning to reduce the effects of heat. So increasing our tree cover, making sure parks are more accessible. We want to make sure that people know about splash pads. And this public information is a long-term plan because it takes a while for it to get out in the community and for people to become a second nature.
Really infiltrate in people's daily lives. Colton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Colton Ritchie is the City of Madison's Emergency Management Coordinator. We've been talking about another round of extreme heat hitting Wisconsin this week. And earlier, we spoke with National Weather Service meteorologist Kevin Wagner.